Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting installment of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm your boy, Double B Bad Blood, the franchise player, joined by the mixologist and professional wrestler, Mr. Chemical Julian, and that dude in the chair right there, your wicked, crazy pinfalls predictions champion.
$2.
Your boy, Shane. Your boy, Shane. Yeah. Hashtag $2.
$2.
So, before we get into this extraordinary night of AEW Dynamite action, why don't we talk about what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Well, what's in the box?
Talking about this All Elite Wrestling.
We got it. Hold on, hold on. Let's get a countdown real quick. Let's get a 30-second countdown. Okay, I can't wait 30 seconds. Let's go ahead.
All right, let's go.
So, you got 30 seconds, right?
Yeah, our longest 30 seconds.
Shane, explain this. Explain the box to us, because a lot of fans probably don't know what the All Elite Crate is all about. So talk about it. Let us know before you open it up.
Well, the All Elite Crate box is mainly you get a lot of merchandise that you probably don't even have or that you really want. They just put a bunch of random merch in it, and there you go. I have the top tier All Elite Crate where I can potentially win AEW tickets for any show.
All right.
Yeah. So hopefully this will be the lucky winner of this box. And so anyway, the first thing that I opened up over here is an Adam Cole baby shirt.
Oh, shit. So let me ask you, when they send you those shirts, like, do you like send them like, hey, my size is like a large?
Yes. And, okay. Before you purchase it, they ask you to select the size of what shirt you wear.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you got the Adam Cole shirt.
Adam Cole. And of course,
is it one of the better shirts or is it like one of the lower merch?
Oh, the theme is Double or Nothing. All right.
Brought to you by Bleacher Report. Another shirt.
And that's this is a nice one. I actually like this. It's a Hangman Adam Page shirt.
Oh, that's one of the good ones.
Yeah, one of the good ones. Funny, they are actually facing on Friday on Rampage. That's hilarious. And And I got a Double or Nothing pin, which also looks really nice.
That's a casino chip.
Yep, casino chip. Oh, I got Dark Order cards. That's cool.
Ooh, shiny. Is it metallic?
No, it's just a glare. Trying to get out where it's not so glary. There we go. And I have a Micro Brawler Eddie Kingston.
Those Micro Brawlers have been out everywhere. I mean, like
every
week we're talking about the Micro Brawlers.
Did WWE start the Micro Brawlers?
Back in the day, I believe so.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, we're talking like late 90s.
Yeah.
It was like little spring action, you know?
And then they came back like 3 years ago. They started reselling them. And I got a Best of AEW Dark Volume 1.
That's the best of.
Okay.
Yeah, this is actually new.
Tell us some of the matches on there. Tell us some of the best of matches on there.
We have Strong Hearts versus the Young Bucks. That's pretty cool.
A good match.
Kip Sabin versus Kenny Omega.
Ooh.
Dante Martin versus Matt Sydal.
Okay.
Big Swole and Chris Statlander versus Dr. Britt Baker and Rio. Dark Orders, Evil Uno, Allen, Five Angel, and Colt Cabana, Boom Boom, versus the Death Triangle. And we got Robert Anthony versus John Moxley. Kip Sabin, twice he's on his DVD, versus Joey Janela.
So I remember the Kip Sabin-Joey Janela feud over Penelope Ford.
Right.
Some of those matches were so sick, so violent.
And it was over Penelope Ford.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, she was cheating on Kip Sabin. I mean, cheating on Joey Janela with Kip Sabin. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Like an actual real thing or storyline thing?
That was like a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Why she had been with Joey Janela recently. But, okay, now I know why.
See, bro, this is what I'm talking about. Like professional wrestling, like...
It's in bread.
Keep your personal relationships away from professional wrestling.
Oh yeah.
So many wrestlers on podcasts have said
have they not learned from the Matt Hardy and the Matt Hardy and Edge thing? Have they not learned from that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they, let's go back. Let's go back. Gentleman Chris Adams.
Ooh.
Mm.
was married to Tony Adams, who left him for Stone Cold Steve Austin. She is actually the person who gave Steve Austin the Stone Cold moniker. And, and what people don't realize is Stone Cold Steve Austin was a student of Gentleman Chris Adams.
Now, if I remember correctly, Gentleman Chris Adams and Steve Austin did have a feud in WCW.
Yes.
Like way back in the day.
And WCCW, World Class Championship Wrestling.
And if I remember correctly, also, Gentleman Chris Adams, he did something really violent in one of those matches for back then.
Oh, yeah.
He did something like he pulled back the mat around the ring, and oh man, I can't forget. I can't remember what it was, but he did something.
DDT'd him on the wood.
DDT, yeah.
Wow, then dirty.
I mean, right. these days that's like a fucking
These days
it's Tuesday night on NXT, you know.
But I remember watching that back in the day, like on WCW Saturday night or like one of the day shows.
And man,
it was crazy. It was crazy.
Shit. And the last match on the show is Darby Allin versus Sima.
Ooh, Sima. Man, look, the OWE over in China. Whew, man, they produce a lot of fucking stars.
Hey.
Sima.
Thunder Rosa sticker. How about that?
Friend of the podcast.
Shout out to the AEW Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa.
It looks like.
So before we go any further,
I like pie too.
Tomorrow, I have an interview with Ninja Mac from GCW. Do you guys have anything you want to like throw at me so I can tell him? Or I can ask him rather?
All right.
Oh, do you? Do you have anything you want me to ask him? Like, I mean, just shoot me a message in our chat and I will gladly ask him.
And I got the Stadium Stampede poster.
Is that the one where they hit somebody with a golf cart?
Yes.
It was Sammy Guevara. That was his spot. Every Stadium Stampede, he got ran over.
But the last one was in reverse where Sammy actually got to drive the golf cart. It's like, oh man, this time it's not actually me getting hit with it. No way.
Oh, that's where Adam Page rode on a horse.
That's where Adam Page, where people thought he was going to turn heel during that time.
Man.
Everyone thought. No.
He's a perennial baby face. He'll never turn heel.
Nope.
And when he does,
I got a
baby's going to be crying.
A 10 Dark Order.
Shout out to my boy 10, friend of the channel.
Hey, 10.
1-0.
Looks like I got another one too. Bonus.
Bonus.
Bonus the autograph. Oh, we got Mr. Bowling Alley himself.
Hey, look, don't talk about QT Marshall.
QT Marshall straight from the bowling alley.
Straight from the bowling alley.
And that was it. That was all aside. I did not win any tickets. God damn it, Tony Khan.
Damn it.
It happens, man. It happens.
Sore loser. Everything.
So before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, you can donate to BuySlam.net by going to www.slamchats.com. That's www.slamchats.com. Do me a favor. If you're watching this show, go like, click, and subscribe on the YouTube channel right now. Just go hit that button, you know, and hit that bell so you can be alerted to when we come on here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sometimes on Tuesday. Hell, Saturday for a Battle of the Belts.
Maybe. Jonathan Gresham versus Dalton Castle.
Where's the ducks and why are we not feeding them?
Oh, yeah,
That's later.
Oh,
okay.
That's later. I had a pretty shitty day, so I don't want to get all seductive on here today. We'll do that later.
Actually a pretty good box opening. I really enjoyed the stuff.
That was a really good box opening. I like what you got.
Paint shirt.
So let's get into this show. In typical AEW fashion, they start the show off with something amazing.
Match I've been wanting to happen for a long time.
Penta versus CM Punk. This match, my God. Besides the major botch at the end where I thought CM Punk busted his knee.
Thank God he didn't.
I have a knee injury right now, so trust me, a knee injury.
I thought that was like halfway.
Yes.
Well, it was more like towards the end of the match, but halfway through. It was a botched Rana. I thought it was pretty good.
It was a really good match. I enjoyed every minute of it.
So it was a good match when they started talking about him having the busted knee and he was selling it. I was really surprised that he went for the Rana off the top rope. Or the, sorry, off the top rope. That he went for the Rana, period.
Right.
With the busted knee. Now, I saw that he couldn't get to go to sleep early on.
That really worried me.
But I was surprised he went for the Rana, but he went ahead and still hit it.
You know, they're pushing Punk versus the winner of the world title match this coming Friday.
CM Punk versus Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole versus CM Punk, or are we going to see Adam Page versus CM Punk?
Cowboy,
I guarantee
shit.
You, since I am the predictions champion, I'm guaranteeing, I am predicting
that
Adam is going to retain the championship, or Adam is going to defend the championship against CM Punk. I'll put it out there in ether right now.
Actually,
I'll be the futurist like Julian.
Actually, I am the podcast predictions champion.
Not here, buddy. Not here, buddy.
If you're going to be a futurist, you got to start calling these matches 3-4 months out.
I mean, I called the Austin Theory thing like several weeks.
Hey, it's April. It's April 13th. And sure enough, Julian said February 12th, some shit. And he sent me the screenshot and I was like, I fucking hate you. But you were right. You were right. Hashtag the futurist.
Futurist.
Too bad you can't get your predictions right. But anyway,
I'm looking too far in the future.
Yeah. You're booking like 6 months into the future. Yeah. WWE doesn't do that.
Too far out, man.
It booked like 6 days.
I gotta pull it in. I gotta rein it in.
You gotta stir it up a little bit. You know, like.
Hey man, Heath Slater's contract will be expiring in 2023 in the fall. So you know.
Hey. Calling it.
Get your sign ready.
Yep.
I'm going to be on the 405 freeway. I know. 3MB reunion.
Man, you know, I'm even going to cut you some slack. I'll let you wear a thong.
I think I'd almost be better naked.
It's gonna be a multicolored thong, like
styling. A multicolored? Can we glow in the dark?
Flashes of color in it?
Glow in the dark thong?
You know the sad part is? Right now I'm wearing these little shorts because I have this cool ice machine that's pumping ice up my leg right now, you know, so I can get rid of the swelling on my knee. And I'm wearing these little ass shorts. So they're kind of like booty shorts. My daughter said all I need now is so before I go any further, my daughter and I were in Target one time.
One time in Target.
You know, you're just walking down the aisle and you see someone's head over the thing, right? This guy's face was tatted up. I mean, he's like fucking Picasso on his face. Dude was tatted all over, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Comes around the corner and he has on a tank top. It's like one of those loose ass tank tops, right? And he is tatted from neck all the way down, right? Then he comes around the corner. This motherfucker is wearing some booty shorts and some Crocs and some socks. Now, my daughter, I love my daughter to death. My daughter has no tag. She said, "Dad, why is he wearing booty shorts in Target?"
Oh, my God.
Just like that. And my daughter's 13. She ain't like a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old. She's 13. She said, this voice, "Hey, Dad, why is that guy over there in booty shorts and a tank top?" And I'm like, "Grace, shut the fuck up." And the dude was like, "What's up, SA?" And he walked away. And I was like, "This motherfucker's in booty shorts and a tank top." So my daughter was like, "When you're old, Dad, you can't wrestle no more. And when you're like, we put you in the old folks home, what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you some booty shorts. Like, your whole wardrobe is going to be booty shorts, tank tops, and those stupid, ugly-ass shoes."
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Shoes. So damn. I'm literally wearing the booty shorts that she threatened that I'm going to be wearing one day. So, goddamn, she's now, the futurist.
As long as they're not booty shorts like Naomi's, you're all right.
Oh, no. I ain't got booty like Naomi. Nobody got booty like Naomi. Right. When you finish your move, it's called the rear view for a reason.
The rear view.
Well,
yeah, we're supposed to be a PG company.
Yeah, PG my ass. Okay. Putting girth in. Anyway. Not even 9 o'clock yet.
Not even 9 o'clock. Already off the rails.
Thank you very much for that, Shane. So this match, honestly, if I had to give it a rating, 4 out of 5, I would give it a solid 3.5.
So here we go.
I'm insulted by that.
CM Punk is back to build up the new wrestlers. But of course, everybody wants to see him at least challenge for the championship. I don't think anyone necessarily wants to see him as a AEW champion. but they want to see him challenge for the title.
It's like four progression, you know?
Correct.
WWE, take note, four progression.
So he's going to, I guess he's going to help put over Adam Page and, you know, make him a bigger star.
Well, I said this when CM Punk first came into AEW. I said, I can't wait for him to feud with Adam Page as the sober, straight edge guy versus the alcoholic.
Yeah.
And now I said that. And now that story is coming to fruition. Futurist. Hashtag futurist.
Now
we need to find something else. That's my
thing. That's your gimmick. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good match if you think about it. CM Punk versus Adam Page. But let's also tweak it a little bit. What if we get CM Punk versus Adam Cole, baby?
Maybe. You see, all of them started out in Ring of Honor.
Well, if you get CM Punk versus Adam Cole, you're also going to have Red Dragon attacking CM Punk, which will bring in should bring in Moxley and Daniel Bryan.
No. Let's go back. Let's go back in the past.
Or Joe,
the Bucks are CM Punk's best friends. The Bucks were the ones texting CM Punk, "Hey, we want you to come to AEW."
Correct.
The Bucks are the ones that said, "We can't work with CM
Kevin
Punk.
Kevin Owens, come to AEW." Kevin Owens respond, "No."
So the point I'm making is, we can finally have the Bucks and CM Punk to the straight edge CM Punk, the straight edge Christian boys, because both the Bucks are straight up Christian boys, believe it or not. I know their mama, straight up Christian boys. Can you imagine that? That would be a hell of a 6-man tag team match. But we'll get to Red Dragon in a minute because I'm a little. I'm looking at you, Julian. Me and Julian, look, ladies and gentlemen, me and Julian are always on the same page. Even when we're not, we are. I'll tell you. Julian, when I saw this happen, I was like, Julian's going to be pissed. I was pissed.
And I looked at
the group chat and I was like, yep, there it is. CM Punk gets the win. Great match. 3 out of 5 for me. What do you say, Shane?
For Punk and Penta?
Yes.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me. I didn't care about the 5
stars. Okay, what about you, Julian?
I gave it 4 out of 5.
Wow, okay.
I thought it was a very strong match. I mean, Punk performed as usual. Penta always puts on a good match. And whether he's playing the heel or the babyface, he has a fan base. Let's put it like
he's just
that.
Penta. There's no heel Penta or no face Penta. It's just Penta.
He's just Penta. He has a fan base. And, you know, the crowd was evenly divided, but dude always puts on fire matches.
Yes,
and
he does.
He
wrestled in a temple once. Did you know?
He what?
He wrestled in a temple once. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah, it was called Lucha Underground. I agree with you, Julian. I agree with you.
I mean, tag team, singles matches, the guy's just always on fire.
Always. I love Nilo every time.
After that match, they hype up the fact that Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland are facing hometown boy Ricky Starks and your boy Powerhouse Hobbs. You know it's going to be a lit match. It was going to be a lit match. They go to Marina Shafir, who they say is, you know, she's an MMA person. She's, you know, got these mini medals and she's this and that. And she's debuting on AEW Dynamite against Sky Blue.
Sky Blue.
She has a 3-5 record on Dynamite. So, okay. She's about 75%. She's good.
Yeah.
So then they go to a match. They go to another video vignette of the JSA or the JAS arriving at the airport.
And correct.
I don't know if Tony Schiavone, I don't know if Jim Ross like gets off on saying, what do they mean by on site? What do they mean by on site?
What do you mean by on site?
So they pull up and they're like, yo, what's up? We said on site. And then they're like, we'll see y'all later. So let me give you guys a definition of on site. Shane, when I see you, it's on site. What that means is when I see him, it's on. Not when I see him, I'm going to say I'll see you later. And then it's on later.
When I see you, I'm running up. I'm dropping bombs. That's it.
Man, like bombs. Hiroshima.
No questions asked.
Hiroshima. Bye, guys.
Look, I thought it was funny. They're like, on site. And Jim Ross is like, what do they mean on site, Tony? What do they mean on site? You should be asking motherfucking Excalibur. Don't ask Tony. He don't know shit. Tony got an earring in his ear. Think he's cool. He hang out with Britt Baker. Think he's cool. He hang out with that stupid referee.
He's still upset school. There hasn't been Britt Baker in weeks. Like, he's very upset about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. Then we go to the AEW Tag Team Championship match.
Great match. But
let me say this.
Wait, before you start, because I know where you're going. Let me lay this out for you, ladies and gentlemen. Friday is Rampage.
OnlyFans.
Friday is Rampage. They have an AEW World Title Texas Death Match on Friday. Saturday is Battle of the Belts.
Battle of the Belts.
So, me being a guy who's booked wrestling shows, being a guy who booked successful wrestling shows, not like the shit that's going on now. A guy who's booked successful wrestling shows. If you're gonna claim to have a battle of the belts, shouldn't you have all the belts on the show? That's just me. That's just my gripe. I wouldn't have had this World Tag Team title match on Dynamite. But they had the World Tag Team title match to Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, and Luchasaurus versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, Red Dragon. And
just real quick, just
kill it, Julian.
Please, just real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Go.
If this was 1986 wrestling, this would have been from Malibu, California. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and their opponents, and then Red Dragon would come out and squash the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight.
Mm-mm.
No.
I mean, it's I was just like, okay, cool. Just hey, Jungle Boy, Lucha, just come in, give these two dudes the belt. Let's get out of here and let's move on to Red Dragon versus FTR.
This match was so bad that Kyle O'Reilly got out of the ring and said, this is some fucking bullshit.
Where I think
right to the camera, this is some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Red Dragon was literally supposed to win, I think. Like, honestly.
They were pissed.
Yeah.
I've seen work angry. I've seen work anger.
But he like
that was real emotional. Like, this is fucked up. Like, I don't understand. Tony Khan, you're such a genius when you book shows.
Dude.
I love the way you book your shows, but this right here was in my opinion, this match was a -2.
Wow.
Man, look, I get it. I get it. Jungle Boy is one of your pillars. But your pillars take a L sometimes.
Yeah. We know one is Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy.
Darby taking L's. Look, Britt Baker taking L's.
Took a big L.
Fucking MJF. Two L's already.
By Sean Dean.
Are they worried about Luchasaurus falling into obscurity?
He's already there. No one gives a shit about that. You know what people care about this tag team? Jungle Boy, Jack Perry.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a good-looking kid. He's the son of an 80s heartthrob. All the women love Jungle Boy. And he's immensely talented. By himself, Jungle Boy can be a TNT champion tomorrow.
Okay. Everything that you just said, and Kenny Omega has no title, and he's sitting on the shelf with an injury. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, where is he going to be? Back in the top spot.
Of course.
Period. Kenny Omega.
So it doesn't matter. If Jungle Boy is all that, him taking an L should not matter.
Exactly.
Losing tag team belt doesn't matter.
It's okay for him to lose one.
He can stay in the tag team. Hell, he's in the Owen Hart cut brackets.
Yeah.
He's in the Owen Hart cut brackets.
So. You know? Win or lose is really irrelevant at this point. He doesn't have to keep the titles with Luchasaurus. And the fact that he's going up against Red Dragon and winning, and months ago I complained about how 75% of the match was Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy, they made Jungle Boy the new Darby Allin. The guy
who that six-man tag team street fight you said this.
Just take a beating and just never stop. Just, I've got that intestinal fortitude. I got the heart. I got that baby face comeback heat. Mm-hmm. I can just, nothing can keep me man, get the fuck out of here. And here he is teamed up with what the biggest lizard in wrestling,
the seven foot tall lucha wrestler who thinks he's a fucking cruiserweight,
and lucha underground,
and they're wrestling against Red Dragon, and I mean I'm not gonna do the well back when they were in NXT, but back when they were in NXT, Adam Cole and Red Dragon were running shit.
Man, Undisputed Era.
I mean, they were straight running shit. And here we have Red Dragon up here wrestling fucking Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Well, here's the thing. AEW has the best tag team roster in professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So many amazing tag teams in AEW. The only problem I see is you got, like, Red Dragon wrestling two guys or two singles guys. They're not really a tag team. They're two singles guys. FTR, they're a fucking tag team. Red Dragon, they're a fucking tag team. The Bucks, they're a tag team.
And if they're the ones going to take the belt, then it should have been Red Dragon versus FTR.
Red Dragon should have won those belts tonight. Yes. That's just my opinion.
And so at the end of the match, what do we get? We get FTR coming out to confront Red Dragon. Dude, in the common sense of wrestling, you don't have the belts, so fuck you. I want the guys with the belts.
Okay, so I thought
belts hold the pants. You win the title. I want the guys with the titles. So
superstar.
You just lost and you come out the ring. I've got no heat with you. In fact, I got nothing to say with you because you're losers. You just lost.
Yeah.
I want those guys in the ring holding the gold.
They had a killer of a match in NXT of Red Dragon and FTR.
You know, here's the thing. I thought FTR was coming out to confront Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
Me even FDR,
I would have booked them to become the belt collectors.
Yeah.
They're already Ring of Honor tag team champions. They're the fucking
AAA. But that's the whole problem. FTR has been, well, okay. The booking committee has had FTR or Jungle Boy Luchasaurus dodging FTR since day one.
Mm-hmm.
They've been dodging them since day one. They're not getting booked. Now, FTR has never raised a stink about it. They never made an angle about it. They never complained about it. But the bottom line is, top guys holding two belts need to be in there picking up the third. And they're just, I mean, they're getting, putting all these side angles. And it's really getting silly.
I don't understand why you have Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy still tag team champions. You got Santana and Ortiz. You got Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. Hell, you got Keith Lee and fucking Swerve. Who pulled off some good tag team shit tonight?
So many other good tag teams are out there that should be going after the gold. And remember, wins and losses matter in AEW, allegedly.
That's the reason why they put your wins and losses when you come out.
So, why are you gunning like, oh, ass boys, we're coming for you? I don't give a fuck about the ass boys. I'm coming for the guys who hold the gold.
But then again, here's another thing that someone brought up a while ago. You got people like Red Velvet, who's like 49 and like 7, or 49 and like 15 or some shit, right? Right? No, I'm not saying Red Velvet's not a good worker, but 49 wins, 15 losses.
That
shit was on Dark and Dark Elevation. That's how she became the number one contender for the world title.
Yes.
So, ass boys, all their matches have happened on Dark Elevation and Dark. So now they're like the kings of Dark and Dark Elevation. I mean, at least my boy Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, at least they won matches on Dynamite.
Yeah,
they won matches. They're the tag team on Rampage.
It doesn't matter where you win or lose your matches. It happened in AEW.
I get it. So padding your wins gets you a match, but in the grand scheme of things, people are watching on TV. They're not, I mean, granted, AEW Dark and Dark Elevation, they have some fucking amazing matches.
No, I
no
get
one
that.
Watches that. Not everyone's watching that. Everyone's watching Dynamite and they're watching Rampage, so they don't know.
Remember, what is supposed to put AEW as a professional wrestling company, or more of a professional wrestling company, less sports entertainment, is that it doesn't matter where you win to losses lose or where your wins or losses occur. It's that you won or you lost. So if you won to Jim and Jack Dawkins and Bob and Jimmy Smith and you're 2-0, okay, fine. But now you have to wrestle somebody who is, you know, like a top-notch player, and maybe you'll take your L there. But if you beat that person, now you're 3-0. So as long as Dusty Rhodes said, as long as you go to the pay window, that's all that matters. So it doesn't matter where you get your wins and losses. It doesn't matter how overinflated or how padded your resume is, you still deserve to get your title shot. And if you turn out to be a shit team, then you're a shit team. But still, if you have enough wins, if your win-loss ratio is high enough, you should be getting your title shot. So it makes no sense that FTR is not fighting for the AEW Tag Team Champions.
Exactly.
Championship. It doesn't matter. I mean, okay, Powerhouse Hobbs and Starks. Okay, they're kind of starting out. But, you know, the Pinnacle and everybody else, these other teams that have been there for a while and they're racking up a bunch of wins, they need to be going after the gold, not these little side feuds. This isn't a video game. Forget these side feuds. You need to get in line. There needs to be like a legit line based on wins and losses. And when you're at the top and you lose, you go to the back of the line or the middle of the line or wherever you're supposed to fall on the line. You get your rematch, whatever it is. Right. And if you're kind of mediocre and you pick up a few more wins, then you get to the top. And the whole reason why you're feuding in the middle is to see who hops over the next person to go towards the top. But every week on Dynamite, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus need to be wrestling a legit tag team who have a successful record. And when we're talking about Red Dragon, when we're talking about FTR, when we're talking about Santana and Ortiz, and we're even we're talking about the Ass Boys and these other people, absolutely. I mean, they've got to just go through them one after the other. But in tonight's case, no fucking way. No way that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus should have kept the titles. Period. No way. Especially going to Battle of the Belts.
Mm-hmm. Especially when the looks of it, when freaking FTR actually wanted Red Dragon to win after when they came out.
I mean, at the end of the day, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy retain the championships. Mm. We can express our dislike, our distaste, you know, for this whole bullshit. And I will. Like I told you guys, like I always tell you guys, I'm not an AEW shill. I will shit on AEW like I shit on WWE.
You're not?
I'm an honest person. I will tell you, if I like something, I like it. If I don't like it, oh, you'll know I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anybody. And I did not like this shit. And I knew Julian wasn't going to like that shit either.
I did too. I was like, crap, Julian. And I was even like, what the hell? This would have been a perfect opportunity for Red Dragon to win. They're on a roll.
I was a little disappointed in the whole situation.
Oh, my God. Tony, what are you doing?
If we were doing predictions championship on this and I picked Red Dragon, I would protest this match. I'd be like, nah, give my fucking points.
You want to go to AEW Dynamite?
You know what? I would give you the points. I'd be like, fuck it. Here you go. Take them. Because you know what? Take them. They got robbed. I ain't gonna let you get robbed too.
I'm expecting one day for Julian to show up on AEW Dynamite TV and just like rant promo on Jurassic Express that saying they do not deserve that tag team titles.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone on Twitter.
I know, right? For real.
Don't make me the commissioner.
Don't make me the booker. I'll be like, nah, motherfucker, you jobbing today. So speaking of jobbing today, we got a trios tag team match: Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz versus Jericho, Jake Hager, and Daniel Garcia.
The entertainers.
So here's my thing. I'm gonna rant real quick and then I'm gonna be done. Jericho, Jake Hager, and Daniel Garcia. They're the oddest of fucking odd couples.
They really are.
Okay. Jake Hager is a wrestler, not a sports entertainer. I mean, we the people didn't get over as well as he thought it would in AEW. He's a wrestler. Okay. Daniel Garcia should be with the fucking BCC. Like, he's a wrestler. He's not a sports entertainer. The guy wears trunks. The guy wears plain ass trunks and amateur wrestling boots. Not even any fucking knee pads. The guy is a straight shooter. Jericho is the only sports entertainer in this whole thing. This whole storyline with them all being sports entertainers versus wrestlers, it's pretty fucking lame.
It's funny, though.
I mean, it's pretty fucking lame. And I'm going to say why it's pretty lame, because you got... I mean, I hope Daniel Garcia fucking turns on them. You got Bulk and Skull, as Shane likes to call them.
Thank you. Finally, after weeks, I said it.
Was he Mac Daddy, Matt Menard, and what's the other Mac one's Daddy. Name now?
Who knows? I don't even know. Their names make no sense. That's why I call them Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. You got those guys. You got
2.0.
They show up at the airport. They dump one dude out. He has no fucking shoes on.
No shoes.
The other guy's like, my thumb.
Buying right? car.
Well, no, they weren't even out there. Like, it was just those three people. It was Jericho, Hager, and Garcia who got off the plane. The other two weren't even on the fucking plane.
Yeah.
Right.
But you see them in the middle of the runway, and they got ran over, the shoes taken, all this shit. So Santana Ortiz and Eddie Kingston come to the ring, and Ortiz has the fucking shoes around his neck. Right? So I'm like, okay. I would throw the shoes in the crowd. I was like, fuck it, here you go. You know, they look like Ferragamos. They look expensive. Throw them in the crowd. And don't do like Cody Rhodes did that one time when he hit that Jordan. He threw one Jordan in the crowd. I'm like, motherfucker, what they going to do with one shoe?
All right.
You throw some Jordans in the crowd, throw me both of them. I want them both. Of course, that's just my sick. That's just my sick obsession. So, yeah. But this match. You know what?
I just came up with a really good idea. Jordan on the pole match.
I would kill you. I would be like, let me get my gun. He is not getting to the top of this fucking pole today. I would handcuff your ass.
Oh, my God. Rope. He's stabbing him. He's stabbing him.
Why is he new jacking him?
Yeah. Why is he
fucking 14 or 14. Anyway.
Hey, man. A lot of people will fight for those Jordans.
I will put a motherfucker down for a pair of nice Jordans. Just saying. Don't catch me in a store on a fucking sale.
Jordan's
day.
On a pool match. Let's
don't
go.
Catch me
let's
in the Nike it. Outlet on a sale day. Somebody
that should be your final match. That should be your final match. Jordan's on a pool match.
Yeah, I'll retire with a fucking perfect pair of Jordans. Black. I got a perfect pair over there right now. I just bought the perfect pair of Jordans there right there. Sick obsession. 201, baby. 201.
Someone help me.
So the match was all over the place. It was a brawl, and you know your girl had to get involved because that's what she does. She makes herself the focus of the match. Referees, do not make yourself the focus of a match, especially a television match, please. Santana with the Three Amigos, that was good. Like you got Eddie outside doing the shimmy. You know,
yep.
Eddie doesn't have that type of personality. Like, he's straightforward, but to see him joking around was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they beat the shit out of Jericho, Hager, and Garcia to the point where Jericho uses Floyd the Bat. Hits him in the back. He goes down. 1, 2, 3. Dusty they're the winners. Finish. Once again, a 5-on-3 beatdown. Okay. So, here's the thing. You've had 4 weeks of a build between these teams. And in all 4 weeks, you've had a 5-on-3 beatdown.
Correct.
Okay. My mom used to always tell me this when I was a kid. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this very carefully.
Okay.
Get close. Come close. If you beat people all the time, they won't want to play with you anymore. So, in my opinion, where do they go from here? They've lost every fucking match. Where do they go from here? You can't do anything else. You can't give them the baby face comeback win because they've already lost like 700 times.
They fight in the cage.
Okay, what's that going to do?
Without any guts.
They're still a 5-on-3 advantage. So
No. You fight in the cage, but the other two got to stay outside.
And then we have the other two members of LAX coming.
I was going to say, for me, I will call my boy Santana. I mean, I would call my boy Homicide and my boy Hernandez.
Hold on, Elliot.
And be like, yo, let's call this fucking La Familia, whatever you want to call it, and come in here and beat the shit out of these guys. And Homicide is the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Oh.
And Hernandez is doing this shit in Texas. Hernandez is not under contract with anybody. So it'd be perfect to have those guys come in, and Homicide's already came in to AEW once before.
Correct.
Once. So have them come in for a one-off.
One-off.
Have them come out and save the guys from getting their ass kicked. And then maybe do a blood and guts. That's the only way you're going to save this feud.
Has to announce it. He can't say all games, yes, and game.
That's the only way you're going to save this feud, because it's been too much. Like, the guys, the faces have gotten their ass kicked way too much. The rule of booking a show is this. You build a heel. You build this heel so bad to where the fans want to see him get his ass kicked. And when he doesn't get his ass kicked, guess what? You, the fans, will come back next week to see him get his ass kicked. And when he doesn't get his ass kicked, guess what they're going to do? They're going to come back again to see us get his ass kicked. Yeah. And then when he finally gets his ass kicked, the fans are going to get their payoff. They'd be happy. The face finally got his shine, finally got his win, finally got his comeuppance. This right here is boring. Like, I've already lost interest. I love Eddie Kingston. I fucking love and respect Eddie Kingston.
I've never seen Mad King.
I fucking love Eddie Kingston. He is the realest motherfucker you'll ever meet. Santana and Ortiz should have been AEW World Tag Team Champions a long fucking time ago.
Yep.
If they're creating a trios title, give it to these motherfuckers right here.
Yeah.
They deserve it. But this bullshit, 5-on-3 every week, that's for the birds. I love the match, but I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 stars. Too much bullshit.
I think that's generous. I was going to give it 1.5. I was going to give it 1 simply because I hate to say this. Jericho has done lots of good work in his career. Jericho has used his star power in a good way to, you know, really try to elevate some younger talent. But in situations like this, he looks like a parasite, where he's just trying to stay in the spotlight and just trying to stay relevant and just trying to stay, out there in front of the fans and keep his name out there. Because, you know, it really makes no sense that, you know, you're this dirty low-down heel and you're playing your theme song and everyone's singing along and, you know, in other promotions, they have either changed the theme song or have the person stop coming out of the theme song because they don't want the heels to be cheered. The Wyatt family was getting really too popular. With the family action. And so in this case, you know, Jericho's still coming out. They're still singing
Judas.
Mm-hmm. But he's still doing his usual heel thing. Jake Hager is, you know, there by his side. And I get it. I get that he's trying to elevate these, you know, the 2.0, these younger guys, and he's trying to get them over. But I just don't think this is the way to do it. And he's not even really lifting them up, because he's really got them running around like they're his lackeys.
That's what they are. And yeah, so, that's exactly what they are.
And so the only way that they're going to elevate is by turning against Jericho, and they will have to turn against him and beat him soundly.
Okay. But so stop right there. Stop right there. Because what you just said, we said this months ago.
Yes.
We both said Santana and Ortiz need to turn against Jericho so they can get a push. They turn against Jericho. Look what happened. Buried again in the same drama bullshit.
Correct.
Kingston said in a promo, you got these guys getting into your shit where they should be challenging for the title, but they're too busy handling your shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same shit that's going on still.
Yep.
Yep.
So what did they gain? Who is he putting over? No one. No one right now. Because all they're doing is doing the same shit. This has been the same match, the same drama, the same storyline over and over and over and over again. You know, like Roman Reigns says, like missionary every single night. No one likes that
missionary
shit.
Missionary.
Here's the example. So they're using the same formula where they got MJF over on Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
However, here's the big difference. MJF got himself over.
Yes.
Yes.
He always gets himself over.
MJF didn't need Jericho to get over. MJF got himself over.
In my opinion, MJF got Jericho over.
Yeah. Everything about him was standalone. And and let's flip the script here. MJF got Wardlow over big time.
Yeah.
Because remember when Wardlow first came in? Now, remember when Wardlow first came in and they had those vignettes of him kicking them dudes in the
parking lot and shit?
In the parking lot, we were like, who the fuck is this? This is some bullshit.
We were like, is this Batista baby boy?
I mean, now look at him. You know? People are like chomping at the bit for Wardlow to get their hands on MJF.
Well, okay, so MJF, we'll get to that in a second. But I agree with what you're saying because I see where you're going with it, and you're right. Like, it's right there. It's literally right there. If you're paying attention, you see the story. It's right there.
Yep. Happens with every time when anybody wants to face MJF, you have to go through the obstacles and everything.
Just like the labors of Jericho.
Labors of Jericho.
Hopefully we don't have, you know, Tuco Scorpio or Hoovy or La Parca again or, you know, Spike Dudley or some shit.
Do you know what the labors of Jericho reminded me of?
What?
It reminded me of Roddy Piper choosing his kin, his family.
Okay.
When he was like, oh, I don't need the Four Horsemen. I've got these guys that I'm going to try out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to fight them all one by one.
I remember that.
And that's who I'm going to choose to help me fight the NWO. And one of them was Earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some other dudes.
That
was one of the most drawn out.
And one was the Yeti.
Boring, horrible segments on Nitro to where the next week, the Four Horsemen came out. They're like, hey, man, look, forget your family, your kin. Just roll the Horsemen.
We'll help you. We're tired of this shit.
Yeah, okay. All right, no problem. Hey, guys, sorry about that. My bad.
All these random ass dudes are like, what the fuck, man? I wanted to be part of it, too.
Dude, I remember watching that, and that was one of the most
horrible
segments of Nitro. And this is when Nitro was hot.
Yeah.
You know, and this was just... So the labors of Jericho, I remember watching that. I was like, oh, fuck, I mean, come on. You know, who's going to pull out of his ass this time? And now you've got, you know, 2.0. And yeah, at some point, I mean, Jericho has to lose. I mean, yeah, he lost to Eddie Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
Then he wouldn't.
But how many times did he beat Kingston before he lost to him?
Yeah, but then he's like, I'm not going to shake your hand. Oh, I'm going to shake your hand. Haha, but it's a swerve. And I've got the Jericho Appreciation Show. now we're going to beat on you and your guys for the next 6 weeks.
Cars, those sports entertainers.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
It was too much.
All right, so this dead horse is, you know.
So on a scale, rated on 5 stars, what do you give it? Damn. Okay. Yep. I was at the negative one, but okay. One it is for him, negative one for me, Shane.
One.
Wow. That was the shit match of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Then we go to MJF versus Captain Sean Dean.
Captain.
Now, Sean Dean holds a victory over MJF.
Yeah.
He holds a victory over Sean Spears.
Sean Spears.
So tonight, he's facing MJF one more time.
One more time.
Sean Spears is at ringside. So the match starts out. MJF can't get his jacket off.
Kicking it off.
I'm like, this is fucking carny as fuck. Can't get his jacket off.
It worked for him, though. It does.
It's carny as fuck, but it works for him.
It did. That's why I'm like, this is some carny shit, but it's okay. You know, and Jim Ross, salty as fuck. Boy, you can get that jacket off when you're in the locker room.
Can you hurry up and take off that jacket? God damn it.
And then he turns and he attacks Sean Dean. Stomp Sean Dean out in the corner several times. And as he's stomping Sean Dean out, randomly the camera just goes to the backstage where three dudes are laying on the ground.
Goldberg like camera.
Now it was really funny because like I pictured the Undertaker behind AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Because after MJF sees it, he gets out of the ring and he's looking like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden out of nowhere, you just see AEW staff and you look and you're like, there's Wardlow. Now, here's my thing. The camera was on Wardlow for a solid 2 minutes.
Yes, they were.
Wardlow was behind him making faces.
Yeah.
Now, Julian, if I'm trying to get my hands on you and I show up at your house, right, and you stand out, you come outside your house and you lock your door, I'm going to attack you. I'm not going to wait till you walk down your driveway, you get to your car, you start your car, then you realize, oh shit, I left the coffee on. You get out of your car,
you go
to the house, you unlock the door. I'm not going to do all that shit. I'm just going to get you. He literally sat there for two fucking minutes.
I didn't even know that he was there until the camera got him.
He was back there making funny faces, and the crowd was chanting, Warlow, Warlow. He's like,
no, the funny
just
part.
Just attack him.
It was funny. It was really funny.
And then all of a sudden, MJF slowly turns around, and then Warlow goes, I'm going to kill you. And then all of a sudden, security comes. You had 2 minutes to kill him.
Dude, I thought Warlow was going to grab him right then
I
and
didn't
there.
Pull him over the guard.
And drag him into the crowd. Huh.
That's what I would have done.
But MJF took off running. And actually, the funniest thing to me was I don't know if Wardlow was like, I don't know if I can hop this cage. But he was like, oh, I'm going to go between the barricades.
Yeah, I
wonder if he was thinking, man, I see Paul Heyman trying to hop over barricades. I don't know about
it. It was funny.
Oh, the barricades will come apart. I guess I got to hop over it.
Oh,
and then he hops over it.
It's ridiculous. You know, this could have been the best segment. This was the hottest segment on the show.
Yeah.
Because the fans are clamoring. They are clamoring for Sean Dean to win against MJF.
They want to see
a powerbomb symphony on MJF. They want to see it. Me personally, I want to see Sean Spears get his shit first. Because as MJF is chasing, ran up the ramp, Sean Spears hits Warlow in the back. Warlow's like, are you serious?
I didn't feel anything.
That was the funniest shit. And then security came and Warlow was just handling him. He was like, I'm at Olive Garden. I'm tossing these salads.
Man,
there's a breadstick for you. There's a breadstick for you.
You need to hire more security when you do your security
thing. Okay, dude.
30 guys she took out.
Funniest thing about security is the first four guys who ran out, he hits them, knocks them to the side.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth guy was like, I'm the one that paid extra to take the powerbomb with this other red apron.
Right, and then he grabs him. And he's like, and just picks him up. Because
he grabbed the fourth one. The fourth one is like, I'm not the one they paid extra.
And then he shoved him to the side. Yeah,
threw him to the side.
What?
And then the fifth one, he picks up. I was like, oh, dude, please don't tell me he's gonna powerbomb this guy in the cement. That's gonna be
some do it,
shit. Dude. Do I thought it. He was gonna powerbomb the guys. All the guys on the ground.
I was like, dude, they're not paying these.
I'm waiting for a powerbomb lumberjack.
Trust me, you don't want to take a powerbomb on the ground.
No.
And then,
especially by where the ramp meets the cement.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's right.
Not at all.
That's right. There's no way, ladies and gentlemen, we trained for years to be able to take bumps and not get hurt. There's no way not to take a bump and get hurt on the ground like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get hurt.
There's no way.
But all in all, Sean Dean gets another count out victory. So now Sean Dean has got the disqualification victory.
Before,
he's got the count out victory, and he's got the three weird victories that never happened to AEW.
Yeah,
he's got all of them. So salute to Captain Sean Dean for the win.
But before that,
Captain Sean Dean came out with a challenge to GI Bro.
If before you count that to 10, whatever Tony Khan is paying you, I'll triple that for you. And then the reference was like
Bryce Rensburg, baby.
Ten.
Everybody hates Bryce Rensburg. Bryce Rensburg did the fucking count. He did the count. So Sean Dean beats MJF by count out. Crowd goes crazy because everyone wants Sean Dean to win. It was a pretty interesting segment. I'm not gonna say match. It was an interesting segment.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 3 because it did almost everything it was supposed to do. Almost. But that whole delay between, Warlow could have had his hands on MJF, could have had the payoff, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So almost, but it was highly entertaining.
Yeah, it was that's the only thing that I thought was really shitty. Like, he should have just grabbed him over the guardrail. I mean, even if he grabbed him over the guardrail, like, MJF could have, like, thumbed him in the eye and jumped over and ran away.
Yeah,
you know, give the fans like a little taste. Give them a taste of the title. You know, give them a little taste. You know, let them get a little taste. You know, but all in all, like I said, 2.5 stars. Could have been better. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Nothing's that bad. You realize Christian didn't even come out to ring with him. Christian was like, fuck you guys, I'm done.
Okay.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know us. Okay, Christian.
What are you doing?
Yeah, Christian, what are you doing? Is Christian having one of those,
midlife
crisis? Am I good enough? Has my time come? Am I not good enough to wrestle anymore?
Where is the 2003 Christian, man? That's what we need.
I need Impact Wrestling Christian. Instant
classic. The guy who slams his hands on the ground and cries about...
Like, no, when he cut his hair the first time, just started just winning titles.
Oh, okay.
With Tyson Tomko.
When he kicked the dude in the dick and won the world championship?
Yep.
Yeah. What is he looking for?
His peeps.
He's like, where y'all at? Where y'all at? I don't see none of y'all.
Let me put a blue dot over your face.
Wow. Wow.
That's what Vince wanted to do.
Then we have a tag team match. No, we have Marina Shafir versus Sky Blue. This match is all of 2 minutes. Marina Shafir, the wife of Roderick Strong. Let's put that out there. So you know she's a fucking amazing wrestler because Roddy is the shit. She beat Sky Blue real quick.
Dude, when you say real quick, I had to go to the bathroom and I came back and I'm like,
what happened?
Why can I get a replay? Like, what happened? Yeah, it was like the bell rang. Sky Blue like lunged at her. She moved out of the way. She grabbed her by the arm. She sambo tossed her. She picked her up again. She did it again. Locked in the armbar. Tapped out. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
I was like, God, that was the quickest fucking match ever.
Yeah.
So they're showing her as a serious threat
to
Jay Cargill and her championship. Speaking of Jay Cargill, the baddies were in the house again.
What a bodysuit.
But Jim Ross kept saying, isn't that Red Velvet? You think Kira Hogan? So Red Velvet and Kira Hogan are now part of the baddie section. Interesting.
So that makes sense. So when they had the baddies before and they showed like some random chicks from Detroit, whatever city they were in,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to have a baddie section and it has other women wrestlers in it who are maybe going to have your back and come attacking people, that I'm with.
Well, I think that's what they're coming up with, because the whole baddie section that they presented tonight were like five girls. Three of them were just random hot chicks. And then it was Kira Hogan and it was Red Velvet. And they were like, Red Velvet has had a little bit of change of ideals. You know, she's been a little bit rougher on the edges. Dude, just say she wants to fucking win.
Dude, you gotta love how the announcers build that stuff up.
Jim Ross.
She's had a change of heart. Oh, she's had some problems at home lately and seems to be a little more angry. You're like,
yeah.
Where did you come up with this shit?
Yeah. Where? What do you know?
She stained Bad Blood's Jordans and now he kicked her out. That shit will happen.
Wow.
My shoes. But yeah, so they're really pushing Marina Shafir as a viable like person to beat Jay Cargill. When she doesn't beat Jay Cargill, people
are like, that's going to explode. Right now?
And that's going to explode. Yep. They're going to be like, fuck this shit. People don't remember that Marina Shafir is part of the Four Horsewomen of MMA.
Yep.
You know, she's Ronda Rousey's like right-hand chick. So she's had her cup of tea, not coffee because she doesn't drink coffee. She's had a cup of tea in the WWE and in NXT. So, I mean, it is what it is. then we go to a match. No, we go backstage. We have friend of the channel, Thunder Rosa, the AEW World Women's Champion. She's doing an interview, and out of nowhere comes Vicky Guerrero and your girl Nyla Rose.
With
Nyla
what?
Nyla Rose comes with a birthday cake, with a cake.
And as wrestling fans, we all know, if you are carrying any type of food item, it's going to end up in someone's face, especially if it's a pie or a cake.
Most efficiently, it's going to end up in your face, because that's the way it rolls.
We
got
to get Thunder Rosa.
Especially when she said, we were going to have something nice written on it, but it costs extra money.
And you're not worth it. I was like, wow.
And you're not worth it.
But hey, Thunder Rosa was smart about it. She said, look, let's cut this shit. I know you don't like me. I don't like you either. And you know what? Blah, blah, blah. And she just hauled off on her. And then Vicky was like, hit her, Nyla, hit her. You knew Vicky was taking the bump.
She did.
Yeah.
Vicky took a Vince McMahon WrestleMania bump.
Yeah.
It took her like that whole segment lasted 3 minutes. It took Vicky 2.5 minutes to fall down. I was like looking at my watch sure like, damn it, Vicky, are you going to fall or what? So she took the bump.
She watched WrestleMania. Was like, yo, I'm going to try to fall.
She was like, Vince, I can do your bump better than you can.
Well, you made it sound like Triple H.
Yeah, everyone sounds like Triple H.
Excuse me.
Talking about the match. Main event time. So then we had Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus the hometown really boy, Ricky Starks, and your boy, I'm going to kick your fucking ass, Powerhouse Hobbs. Look. Look. Keith Lee came out. Swerve came out, got a pop. Keith Lee came out, got a pop.
Bigger pop.
Powerhouse Hobbs came out, got a pop. Ricky Starks came out, it was WrestleMania.
Woo!
Yeah. I was like, is he the heel? Like, yeah. Wow,
supposed to be.
I mean, one thing about AEW that I love is that when the hometown boys are in their hometown, AEW doesn't filter the crowd to make the noise where they're getting booed.
No, they don't. The heel,
let them get cheered. MJF was in fucking Rhode Island. Dude, they were booing Punk.
Yep.
So I love AEW fans because AEW fans are the realest fans.
Yes.
They're like Chicago and New York fans for wrestling. They don't give a shit about your storylines. They don't give a shit about your face heel. They give a shit about the match in the ring. That's all they care about. I love it.
That's the kind of fan that I am.
That's the kind of fan that I am. I don't give a shit about you being a face or a heel. I love the match. I love the story. I love the setup. I love the execution. I love all of that shit. So this match, I'll give it a solid 4 out of 5. Ricky Starks took a lot of heat, had that babyface comeback.
Damn.
Even Powerhouse Hobbs had a babyface comeback. I was like, you the heel.
Sure
you the heel. And it's like, I would say, shout out to Scott Hall. Hey, yo. It was a Hall and Nash syndrome. And if you don't understand what the Hall and Nash syndrome is, it's simply this. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash invaded WCW.
Yes, they did.
People thought they were still from the WWF. They thought they were Diesel and Razor Ramon.
Back then, they came
and they picked up and they lawn darted Rey Mysterio Jr. into the side of a fucking trailer.
Wow.
Funniest moment I've ever seen. Just picked him up, bing, and just dropped his ass like he was nothing.
Oh, man.
And those two guys beat up the whole WCW Saturday Night roster.
They sure did.
And they did it with bats, metal pole pipes, all that shit. It was like real. The police came and arrested them. It was real.
Yep.
But as they did all this shit, the fans were cheering them.
Yeah.
The fans were cheering them, ladies and gentlemen. They could have literally set Mean Gene Okerlund, rest in peace, anyone else. They could have set them motherfuckers on fire.
Wow.
And he still would have got a pop. That's the Hall and Nash syndrome.
Wrestling fans were sick and twisted.
When you're so cool that no matter if you heal or face, you're over.
Yep.
I suffer from that sometimes too.
I'm gonna tell you, I enjoy this match, and one reason I enjoy the match is because the heels are so over.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm a fan of Powerhouse Hobbs. I love watching the dude work. He just gets better each and every time.
He does.
I'm also a huge fan of Keith Lee.
Yes.
The one thing Keith Lee did in this match that I did not like is he had Hobbs and Starks in the corner because Hobbs wanted to go spear him. Mm-hmm. And Keith Lee went out of the way and Hobbs speared Starks in the corner. And then Keith Lee ran to the corner to grab Hobbs. I get that Keith Lee is working a big man style, but he did this very lumbering kind of like very slow, let me get into my spot kind of move.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he fucked up.
And I was like, for a big dude that does cannonballs off the, cannonballs off the third rope and, and springboards and all kind of tumbles in the ring and shit. Yeah, I'm not buying this lumbering big man move from him.
I agree with you. I agree with you, my boy. Jason Hobbs should be the TNT champion.
Yeah.
Jace, thanks for tuning in, brother.
The crazy part about it, though, like the thing that makes me like laugh about this whole thing is like Swerve and Keith Lee had some good tag team moves.
Yeah, they did.
like the one spot where he did he jumped off of Keith Lee's chest to the outside.
That reminded me the whole Tyler Black thing where Tyler Black did a moonsault.
And I was what the hell? But it worked.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. It worked, you know. And Swerve is one of those guys that doesn't do a lot of high flying spots, but when he does, they matter.
Yeah,
that was good. I give the match a 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5.
Maybe we'll get a Keith Lee and Swerve versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
Oh god.
yeah. And then we had a backstage vignette. Well, we also got to remember Taz came out.
Taz strode out. Manager.
Taz strode out and he fucking lace swept Keith Lee's legs, and Strickland and Ricky Starks hit the powerhouse house, hit the finisher. Powerhouse Hobbs got the pin. The only thing about this that I wasn't happy about was that Powerhouse Hobbs got the pin and not Ricky Starks.
In home,
Starks
in
got the pin in his hometown. The roof would have went off that fucking place.
Yeah. It still did.
It did, but I'm just thinking, like, if you win the match in your own hometown in front of your people, bro, so much heat. Like, oh my God, the fans would just fucking shit themselves with happiness. And I saw, like, when I saw the pin go down, I was like, nope, wrong person. Oh, well, they still won. So the crowd went home happy knowing that their hometown boy won. Correct. Even though he wasn't the one that got the pin.
You know what's really funny? I wonder if Taz realized and said, hey, you know, I haven't been at ringside in a while. I'm just going to go out there just because.
Well, and he just strolled down like, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I used my one manager tutorial car for the night.
yeah. And then they go backstage. And then, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if I see something stupid on this show, I will tell you it's fucking stupid. You go backstage and you got, you got your boy Hook. The handsome devil Hook. Just chilling
almost
there.
Spoke.
With a weighted ball. Just sitting there. Right? And he gets approached, just chills there, throws the ball like he's going to hit the guy. And then he tosses the ball like this, and Danhausen is there. Okay, Danhausen is funny. But this whole gimmick where he's trying to curse Hook, it's fucking stupid.
Tom Holland's his brother.
Hook just walks away like, man, fuck this guy. You know, at least he didn't eat the chips out of the trash can like he did last week.
At least
his shows were so good. It was only like a 5-second rule. Come on.
And then they announced
the blue light didn't come on and his eyes didn't turn blue.
Yeah, exactly. In the middle of the match. Then they announced that Hook makes his AEW Dynamite debut. Yes. Okay. This is a mistake.
Now we're getting somewhere.
This is a mistake. Hook is the hottest thing on Friday nights.
Yep.
Don't take someone from your Friday night show that's not high on the ratings right now. And Hook hasn't been wrestling on Dynamite. I mean, on Rampage for a while.
Correct.
Book him in matches on Rampage. Let him make Rampage his home. Let him smash motherfuckers on Rampage. Put him in some matches with people on Rampage. Okay, build him on Rampage.
Rampage, baby.
But, you know, you're like, oh, let's take this guy and put him on Dynamite. You have so many other motherfuckers on Dynamite.
Well, we have been saying on the podcast, like, let Hook do something on Dynamite.
I mean, I get that, but right now he needs to be more established on Rampage. He needs to go on there and who's on this Friday? Okay, they got Max Caster. Max Caster is fucking doing the most on there.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm biased because I love Max Caster. Him and Bowens are probably the best tag team on Rampage. But this Friday, we have a trios match. We have the boy that comes with the Blackpool Combat Club,
BBC.
I think it's a stupid name. Blackpool Combat
BBC.
Club.
BBC, Shane.
not BBC, Shane. Calm down.
Oh, okay.
It's not even 9 o'clock yet. Oh, it is 9 o'clock.
Okay. It is 9 o'clock.
So Shane, shit. BBC is live on the podcast.
I can say the word "fuck" now. Awesome. Yeah.
Brought to you by Black.com.
Black.com. Anyway, wow. He's rock solid with their blue chew watching videos on black.com. Oh my God. Okay, so realistically, before we go to commercial break, because we need to take a commercial break before we go to this main event.
Can you imagine if they were the BBC and they were stretching people? They just call it a gape. It's a gape match. 9/11, folks. 9/11.
You know what,
Julian? True. Yes.
You know, Julian, I'm gonna give you that one. But I'm gonna give you that one, and I'm gonna up it one. You can have them in a 6-man tag team match and make your balls count anywhere.
Balls count anywhere. Drive me insane. All these rules are lame. Come and take it on the fight out. Drive me insane. All these rules are lame. Come and take it on the fight out. Drive me insane. All these rules.
When you want to get your hair cut, you go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
And we are back. Talking about a ball.
We're back.
Match. You know where the finish would be? In your mouth. Anyway, going back to our main event of the evening.
Demonetized.
So, hey, it's 9/11. It's 9/14. No demonetization happening now.
True.
Ring of Honor World Television Championship match. Your boy versus the murder grandpa himself, Minoru Suzuki, the newly crowned Ring of Honor Television Champion. And can I just say, it was a delight.
Big meaty men.
It wasn't a big meaty man because there was only one big meaty man.
Dream about the big meaty man slapping me. All right.
You can think about whatever you want to think about, my friend. It is okay. Not going to begrudge you.
It was a chop fest.
Yeah.
It was a damn old chop fest.
It was the most violent of all chop fest. Like,
I heard it through my freaking house over here.
For like the first 3 minutes of this match, they were just like slapping the shit out of each other. Minoru Suzuki was like, come on.
Samoa Joe was red like fresh Atlantic salmon.
Hey, you see Suzuki's chest? Bleeding. Yeah.
Suzuki was loving it.
Those matches where you can just get in the ring and just beat the shit out of each other. These are pro wrestling strong style matches. And what people don't realize is Minoru Suzuki is the king of pancrase.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that old man literally can beat the fuck out of 90% of the people in the world.
Yeah.
He's an old violent man. He's that guy, hey kid, get off my lawn. No, I'll choke you out, bitch. That's him. And if he said that to me, I'd be like, yo, I don't want that smoke. I'm sorry.
Drinking 40 ounces with Adam Woods out in the GCW show.
I'm just saying. Look, shout out to Adam Woods. Adam Gordon Woods. Live here every week on BuddySlam.net. You can find him on YouTube.
Had an interview with Eric Bischoff, by the way.
He always has interviews with Bischoff. Bischoff are like besties.
Eric Bischoff, that's my best friend. He needs to come on this show.
Bad bitch. He says all the time. Got his own show. He don't need
You saying Eric Bischoff is an Adam Woods baddie sexual?
Wow, I wouldn't have said that. Woods section. I really wouldn't have said that. He's in the Woods section. Like, nah. No, I wouldn't have said that at all.
In the woods. Yeah. See the woods.
I probably wouldn't have said that.
Was he lost in the woods?
So, Ring of Honor World Television Championship match, Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki. Just chop fest, just slapping leather. Excuse me. Just beating the holy piss out of each other. I mean, like, it was so bad. Like, I had to, like, cover my eyes.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It was
I did not cover my eyes.
It was like Bobby Lashley was like, yo, kids.
Fuck your kids.
I just got to beat your ass. Like, hey, Dom, come here. Let me get Veer and beat your ass real quick.
I saw this match with Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki. Let me chop ya.
There came a point where they stopped chopping each other, and Suzuki slapped Joe in the chest.
His hands were red, by the way. His hands were red.
I really hope someone has the still frame of the sweat just like flying off of Joe's body when he slapped him, because he slapped the shit out of him.
Oh, my God. And, dude, he hit him so hard, and then Joe stumbled back a little bit, and then Joe hit Minoru, and Minoru stumbled back and goes, come on, bitch. I was like,
wow. Oh,
them's fighting words.
Yeah.
Remember,
and Joe just let loose.
So it's a feud.
Joe just let loose. I mean, this match, ladies and gentlemen, it was not for the faint of heart. But at the end of the night, we have a new Ring of Honor World Television Champion.
And
the fact that the commentators kept putting over the fact that.
Muscle Buster.
Yes.
The return of the Muscle Buster, which I love.
Well, he did it to Max Caster.
Yeah.
So at the end of the night, after he did that, you know, after the whole Muscle Buster and the finish, the commentators kept putting over the fact that Joe's a former Ring of Honor pure champion. He's a former Ring of Honor world champion, but he had never been the Ring of Honor World Television Champion.
So he's Grand Slam ROH champ?
Well, so now he is. And then trash. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. I was going to like not really talk about that. But since you brought it up so nicely. This was some Omos shit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this. I'm going to put my mic away, put my headphones down, and I'm going to watch you guys. I'm not even going to listen. I'm going to watch you guys talk about this because my mama told me, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say shit at all.
But it's not.
Then
but
you never host Raw. So.
Oh, man.
Up comes Sanjay Dutt and up comes Jay Lethal. They congratulate Samoa Joe on winning the match. And then the lights go out. And when the lights come on, there's.
Again, I thought when the lights went out.
Undertaker? Yeah, no. You wish.
I
know you're waiting for that, but no. That didn't happen.
Every time.
It was Shanky's brother Stanky. I mean, just some dude.
Shanky of your brother or something like that.
Somebody on Twitter called him Great Value Kali. it was just some dude. I guess his name is Satnam Singh, and he's been signed with AEW for quite a while now.
And he was a professional baseball player. All right.
Professional basketball player. And I don't know why he has beef with Joe. I don't know why.
Then Samoa Joe came and watched a baseball game and said, hey, you suck.
Yeah, Joe may have, dude played for the Mavericks. Joe may have, been a fan of the Spurs or something. I don't know. He had some hand in getting them traded to the D-leagues. I don't know. But, yeah, so this basketball player showed up. So he's the Indian Rodman or the Indian what was DDP's buddy's name? Karl Malone?
Yeah, Karl Malone.
Yeah, and so they show up to attack Joe, and that's it. If there was such thing as a negative pop.
Yeah. Even Shivani's like, oh my God, I've seen him train at the Atlanta, Georgia Center. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's who? Oh my God, it's Shane Husky. I mean, oh my God, it's Julian Smith. Same thing. I mean, I could have appeared in the ring and they would have given me the same reaction. Maybe okay. One person would have been like, hey, I think he's that podcast guy.
I think he's that podcast guy. Yeah.
Just some this dude was, pops up the ring. It could have been a fan who ran to the ring. Shit,
wasn't even trash. This was like Tony. This was a dumpster fire on top of a shit show, on top of a bunch of shit on top of a dumpster fire. It was horrible. You ruined such a great match with this hocus pocus shit.
And I like me some hocus pocus.
I mean, fuck, I would have expected the Undertaker to show up if that was the case. Like, that was some stupid shit. But
not hocus
like
pocus.
Like I said,
he leaves Samoa Joe Lane.
No hocus pocus.
I thought it was his.
Thought hocus pocus died with Taker. I thought hocus pocus died with when the Fiend left. I thought hocus pocus was gone. I guess I was wrong.
I like hocus pocus. I love
because we saw hocus pocus on Raw, and now we saw hocus pocus on AEW.
Nobody can do hocus pocus better.
Sarah Jessica Parker would say. Amok, because they were running amok on the show with the hocus pocus.
Hocus pocus on Disney Plus.
That was a Sarah Jessica Parker reference to hocus pocus. I give the match 4.5 stars.
Tony, this is the part where you should have said, no, we good. Yeah, all right. We
give the match 4.5 stars. I give the ending -2. So what that does to the match is brings it down to 3.25.
Wow. So wait, -3.25 then?
No, just a straight up 3.25.
Steiner math.
I was so disappointed in the ending. It made me sick. I was like, I'm not even drinking. And this is not even fun.
Dude, this was such a sports entertainment segment.
Not even that, because I was not entertained.
Yeah, sports entertainment segment. Sorry, it was a bad sports entertainment segment on a wrestling show.
It was like a comedy show where the guy was coming out telling jokes that were not funny.
Whoa. You will not disrespect Madcap Moss like that.
Okay. Okay.
Look. It was going to be a future.
If this was Madcap Moss, you had to raise this match stars up to 5.
Right.
This fucking guy.
And they're right, Sasha.
He's gonna get Madcap Mania on this bitch over here.
Hey, Julian, did you get a Madcap Moss action figure yet?
Julian has like 4 of them. He sleeps with one. He has the Madcap fucking pillow. He has a plushie.
Dude, fucking. I got to get some Madcap buddies, man. You know, I'm waiting for Madcap to win, like, you know, the IC title or something, and then you know I'll go ahead and get a replica of that too.
Isn't he a former 24/7 champion?
Yeah, he's a former 24/7 champ.
Yeah, who had, come on.
Now part of that accolade.
That belt, that title is not joining my collection over here.
Where is it joining?
As we all know, pretty soon. Hey, everybody, get your 24/7 title right now because they're going to retire it soon. And they're going to bring back the TV title.
The TV title.
That would be kind of cool. But, you know, you made that prediction in February 12th.
Yeah.
Hopefully by maybe this week I'll have my Wicked Crazy Podcast champion. I'll be wearing that baby around me.
We shall see. We
shall see. I hope you get that, Shane.
Yeah.
I hope you get
shine it up so wearing pride.
Oh yeah. Then I can me and Babylon can do the whole Kane and Brian Danielson thing. I'm the podcast champion.
I will say that our prediction championship belt does look better, but you know.
Yeah.
No, don't disrespect.
Just saying. Okay, so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen. This was your AEW Dynamite review recap show. Do me a favor, go like, click, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitch, follow Shane Husky on Twitch. He's a Husky _518.
Double _518.
He's the man. Double_518.
Yeah.
You can follow Chemical Julian at Chemical Julian. Of course, you can follow me on all my platforms at The Franchise Player Bad Blood.
And you know what? Diamond is Julian. Where can they watch us?
Man, Shane is on it. Like Shane's like, dude, I want to know where you can watch us every week. How many times a week you say?
How many times?
That's three? That is a lot of time to be watching these three faces. I mean, damn. Okay, there you go.
And like I said before, you know, if you're watching this on your cathode ray TV, that big bulky one that you know you probably sprained your back. Trying to lift from your from your mama's bedroom over to the living room. You know, you got to screw the coaxial cable in the back.
And, carrying that upstairs.
You got to pay like a $150 recycling fee when you get rid of it or trade it in or whatever. You know, the old TV, they used to do the commercial. They smashed in the front with a sledgehammer.
The really, really
go
big
see
TV
cow.
That they used to run back in the day.
You're probably still, you know, you're still using your MCI card to make phone calls.
Man,
you still got a landline. You
know, pager.
You still got a Mac Bell. You know, all that stuff. So if you're doing all that, you know, you'll probably catch us three times a week in the Portland, Oregon area. Well, and you have cable, so you might as well use it. So three times a week, catch us on Mondays at 10 p.m., channel 22 Xfinity TV, channel 8002 CenturyLink TV. Tuesdays, you can catch us at 9:30 p.m. on channel 23 Xfinity TV or 8003 CenturyLink TV. Or better yet, Monday, Tuesday, you are busy. Wednesday, come home, Wednesday. Have your pot pie, have your ham, have your eggs, because you're going to have eggs.
Or Taco
and
Bell.
You can catch us at 9:30 p.m. on channel 11, Xfinity TV, and CenturyLink TV.
No, Kenny, that's not my pot pie.
Yeah,
you know, and if you like to be driving around in your car and, you know, looking at a video while you're driving is wrong,
don't do
should
that.
Not be doing that shit. Who would do that?
Pavlov.
Oh, wow. One time, Shane. One time, okay? Jesus Christ. You can always go check us out on Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and for the lovers out there, iHeartRadio. We're everywhere on the media podcast platforms.
Or like me, a podcast.
Did you say OnlyFans?
Yeah,
OnlyFans. Stop hawking your OnlyFans on this show. OnlyFans.com/Husky518. trust me, you will be the only fan looking at that. shit.
He does amazing things.
For all your wrestling news needs, you can go to BuySlam.net. For all your wrestling news needs, backstage stories. Like tomorrow, I'm going to do an interview with GCW's superstar Ninja Mac.
Ninja Mac!
Very
Ninja
interesting guy. Mac. Can't wait to do an interview with this guy.
We got to get Sami Zayn on this podcast.
Try and get Sami Zayn on the call.
Sami Zayn, if you're watching or listening to us, when you want to talk about conspiracy theories, hey, you can come on to this podcast, man, every Monday.
CO-inspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. CO-inspiracy. And, you know, we like to do this every now and then. And this is Shane's favorite part because this is when he goes and he goes and gets the Blue Chew. And
oh, man, the Blue Chew.
He goes and turns his video scope onto black.com and he gets excited. He gets excited, ladies and gentlemen. He gets to feed the ducks. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. If you like what you heard here tonight, and you want to donate to BuySlam.net to help keep the website going, real simple. All you got to do is go to www.onlyfanslamchats.com.
Slamchats.
That, once again, is www.slamchats.
PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, Visa, Discover, MasterCard.
MasterCard.
All that.
He said MasterCard, Shane, not what you think. And ladies and gentlemen, for your boy Husky 518, I'm the man with the plan, the mixologist, Mr. Chemical Julian. I'm your boy, the franchise. And man, it has been spectacular hanging out with you people tonight.
Every single week.
But what we gotta do now is we gotta go